So what I've written on the board this morning is the phrase, right is the pathway. And if you were in the congregation where Brother Clifford and Sister Dorothy were pastors, you would hear them say that from time to time. And it seems, I don't know exactly what they were referencing as far as a song or a scripture, but it sounded like a scripture because the way they said it. But they would say, right was a pathway leading to this. And I've heard them say that multiple times, and I was with Brother Clifford a lot more than I was with Sister Dorothy. And I can remember him saying in times of distress, right was the pathway leading to this. So that phrase is in a song, number 322 in our book. And I'm going to read the words to the song. I'm not going to attempt to sing it for you. And Francis Havergal wrote this. A woman that probably started writing hymns maybe as early as 7 years old in her life as a young girl. And this appeared to be a poem. And I don't know if she ever intended for it to be a song. And B.E. Warren put this poem to this melody that we sing from time to time. The title is Crown After Cross, but that's not the title, I don't believe, that she used for her poem. But just listen to the contrast that's given here. It says, light after darkness, gain after loss, strength after weakness, crown after cross, sweet after bitter, hope after fears, home after wandering, praise after tears. Sheaves after sowing, sun after rain, sight after mystery, peace after pain. Joy after sorrow, calm after blast, rest after weariness, sweet rest at last. Near after distant, gleam after gloom, love after loneliness, life after tomb. After long agony, rapture of bliss, right was the pathway leading to this. So, right was the pathway leading to this. I'd like to turn to a scripture in Matthew, the 7th chapter, desire and interest in your prayers that the way this come to me, I would be able to communicate it today effectively. In Matthew chapter 7, I would like to look at verse 16, some counsel that Jesus gave concerning false prophets. Maybe we'll start in verse 15. It says, beware, Jesus' words here, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Well, I don't think we have to be too much of a gardener to realize that a fig tree doesn't have thistles, and grapes don't have thorns on them. Roses do, but grapes don't. And then if we go down to the 20th verse, it says, wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. By the fruit of the false prophet, you'll know them. And we have an old saying that we use sometimes. I was raised with a lot of colloquial expressions, and one of those is, the proof is in the pudding. The end result will tell you whether the things leading up to that end result was really a good thing or not. And this scripture in Matthew and the old saying are both, or the colloquial expression, if you however you want to look at it, are both implying that the end result of something is a sure way to tell if the ingredients or the decisions or the path were good or not. And I think all of us will have maybe even said, well, it remains to be seen, or we'll wait and see how this turns out. You might come along and see someone that's doing something that you've never seen it done that way, or I remember the first time on my job that I lifted a cab off of a truck to make a repair, and I was the first one in the shop to do that. And when I was making preparations to do that, somebody come by and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm fixing to lift this cab. I'm going to work on the engine." And they immediately went and told my supervisor what I was fixing to do, and we had a conversation. Needless to say, they was very skeptical. "We don't know how this is going to turn out." I remember when I came to Carthage, I started working at the Ford dealer down there and hadn't worked there very long, and I had a job that I'd already had the cab off a couple times before, and I told my supervisor there, or my shop foreman or service manager, I don't know, whatever you call him, I said, "Look, I'm fixing to do this repair, and I just want you to know, before I get started, I'm fixing to pull the cab off." And the fellow that I worked next to, as soon as he realized what I was doing, they were very, very skeptical. And they didn't think I ought to do that. They thought I was going to create problems. And I said, "Well, you just let me wait and see how it turns out." Okay? Wait and see how it turns out. And you know, we look at things like that as humanity. If we see something that seems to be suspicious or questionable, we might say, "Well, I'm going to wait and see. I'm just going to see how this turns out." You know, if somebody makes a decision, a big decision in their life, they're going to change occupations, going to quit their job, they're going to go to a different place of work, maybe they're going to start a business or start down the path of a career change of some sort, we might say, "Well, we'll wait and see how this turns out." If all of a sudden if I told y'all I was going to start raising sheep or guinea pigs or anything else to sell, I think that all of you would have some level of apprehension. I know my wife would. And she might say, "We'll have to wait and see." She might say, "Why don't you just get a couple of them? Don't buy 100. That's the way we operate, isn't it? We want to be careful because we don't know what the end result is. And we are looking for that end result to determine whether the decision was right or not. Are you with me so far? We look so many times on with reservation until we see the end result, and then we decide whether the decision was right. And I find that, you know, living for the Lord, sometimes we have to be convinced that the path is right before we see the end reward. There is something about faith that requires us to make a determination of whether the path is right before we have the end result. So I'd like to turn to another scripture. I'd like to go to Proverbs, the 12th chapter. And I want us to notice here in Proverbs 12, in verse 28, I believe, what the writer says. He says, "In the way of the righteous is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death." In the way of the righteous is life. In the way that, on the path that the righteous would follow, there's life. On the footpath, on the path of the road that you choose. You know, when I get over there close to Carthage, there's about 9 different ways I can go from the edge of Carthage to my house. And there's probably not 30 seconds difference in the time it takes to get whichever way I decide to go. I can go through town, go out on 96 highway a little ways, and go north to my house. That's the way I typically go. But I can also go up the interstate a few miles and then go east and back south to my house. And there's several different places. I have to choose a path to get me there. And it says here, the way of the righteous is life. The way, or the pathway of the righteous, is right. Would you agree with that? The path of the righteous is right. He says, the way of the righteous is life, and in the pathway thereof, there is no death. Now, so living for God is the right path. And when it says there is no death, I believe he's talking about a spiritual death. There is no spiritual death. I believe I can say that with utmost confidence. There's no spiritual death in the pathway of the righteous. I can't say that there's no literal death, because every righteous person that has ever lived, except Christ and Enoch, has rotted away in this old earth somewhere. So it means that the life choices of the righteous, of a sincerely saved person, would be right is the pathway, or the right pathway. Keep in mind that we're all going to make decisions that other people are going to say, "I'll have to wait and see." Because our brains, by and large, for the most part, our human brains is wired to say, "Well, the proof will be in the pudding. By their fruits you'll know them. I'm going to wait and see how this turns out." You're fixing to do something unorthodox or something that doesn't fit the norm, we're going to have to wait and see, instead of determining if the path is right. But the scripture says, the way of the righteous is life. In the pathway thereof, there is no death. It does not lead to disappointment. I want us to get that in our mind. The pathway of the righteous is life. The pathway that the righteous would follow gets us to the end result that we want. Now, There are times when you're listening to someone for direction on whatever you're doing. It might be directions on getting to a specific destination that the person given the directions will have to say, just trust me, this will get you where you want to go. And there are times that you think there is no way doing what this person tells me to do is going to get me there. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sure in our line of work, there's times that what we do doesn't always make sense to the person that we're trying to coach along. I've told you this before, but my father was just about as good a cook as me. Or maybe he was better than me, but which means there was no cook. And my mother done a lot of things from memory. She had a few recipes she had written down, but she did a lot of things from just her memory. And she made the most wonderful coleslaw. Very few people can make coleslaw that tastes like my mama's coleslaw. And one time she was making coleslaw and my dad caught her putting some sugar in it, in the cabbage. And he said, cabbage don't need sugar. You don't put sugar in coleslaw. And my mom said, I always did it that way. That's just the way I do it. And my dad said, well, make me some without it. So she did. And the end result was he didn't like it. He didn't like the coleslaw. He wanted to go back to have her. It didn't make a lot of sense. The path didn't look right to him, you see. But my mama put sugar in her coleslaw, and my daddy loved the coleslaw. I did too. I still miss it. So I'd like to go now to Psalms 139 and notice a couple verses in Psalms 139. Verses 23 and 24. The writer here says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The way everlasting would be the right way, wouldn't it? It'd be the right is the pathway. And the psalmist here is asking the Lord to search him, see if there's any wicked way, if there's anything there that would not be in the right path. Because ultimately the writer of the Psalms, he wanted to get to the destination. He wanted the end that did not conclude in death, in spiritual death. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The right is the pathway that leadeth to this. And you know, we can come along in life and be going down the path. We can go be going down the path of life and come to the place where we don't want to go. And as we come to that place, we'll be wondering, am I on the right path? And it was at those times in people's lives that Brother Clifford would say, right is the pathway that leadeth to this. Right was the pathway. It wasn't that you was on the wrong path, but along the path, there is something that is not always desirable. There may be some sugar that needs to be added to the coleslaw. There may be something that is distasteful that you don't think you ought to do. You don't think you ought to have to go through right then. And I can say that in my line of work, there's been a lot of times that I've been through things that I didn't really want to do. Many times I've come home discouraged. Many times I've made this expression to those around me, maybe even my wife, not too seriously, but yet just as a out of desperation, maybe I would say something to the effect of, maybe I ought to just go see if I can just sack groceries. That seemed like a pretty mindless job. Just put it all in the sack and carry it out to the car. There's not even a job for that anymore nowadays, but there was when I was a boy. But I'll tell you what the path has led me to, because I've worked at the same occupation all of my life. And I know that Brother Mark could say this too. There's been situations he's been in, and I've been in, others have been in. It's like, I wished I wasn't here. I wished I knew what to do in this situation. And we've scratched our head, and we've made attempts that has failed, and we went back and we've done things again and again and again. And I'll tell you where it's got me. Now there's people that want to come and ask me, how do you do this? This past week, had a car that was making a really strange squeaking sound with the engine running. And I had not heard the sound until they had it running, and they'd already replaced something to try to fix this noise. And so as I was walking past, I heard this noise, and I could tell the fellow that was working on it was kind of, didn't know what to do. I said, take your stethoscope, and I said, put it right there. So he did. And sure enough, that's where the noise was. And he said, how did you know that? I said, well, it's because of the path I've been on. It's the path I've been on. And I can tell you that that's where the noise is at. And sometimes the path has been difficult. So I'd like to go to the 23rd Psalm, and I'd like for us to look at that. In the 23rd Psalm, and if you've been a child learning memory verses, you probably learned to say the 23rd Psalm as a memory verse one at a time, and then you said the whole psalm. And Matthew, you're going to learn that someday. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Oh, that sounds so nice, doesn't it? He lets me lie down in the green pastures, and whether you're young or old, the idea of laying down in the fresh green grass, that just sounds good, doesn't it? Does to me. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Remember what we read about the path of the righteous earlier? It says it leads to a place where there is no death. Right is the pathway that leadeth to this, though. He says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, and then the scene changes. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Did you change the path? Didn't say anything about getting on a different path, did he? And there's so many times we're going down the path and we think, oh, this is such a wonderful path. I can lie down in the green pastures. I can walk by the still waters. Oh, there's, it's so beautiful here. Life is so good. I've got a spouse that loves me. I've got little children that love me. I've got family that loves me. I've got a occupation I enjoy doing. And, you know, I can just, everything is just clicking right along. I've got everything I need in life. And you're going down that path, and all of a sudden, this path leads through something that you don't want to go through. It says this path, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. All of a sudden, my path goes through the shadow, a valley, a low place, trees overhanging, shadows, but it's the shadow of death, the shadow of apprehension, the shadow of failure, the shadow of things that you don't want to think about. Discouragement, despondency. But I haven't changed the path at all. And that is the time that we need to assess the path that we're on. And realize, as Brother Clifford used to tell us, right is the pathway that leadeth to this. So I don't know where we're all at today, but it's possible that we could be on the right path, and it looks like that path is going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. And you know what happens when we go in? We're on this path, and as we start going into the valley of the shadow of death, you know what starts happening? We start double guessing the path that we're on. We start wondering, should I be on this road or not? You've been that way, I'm sure, going down the highway and you're following the road signs or the GPS or whatever it is. And as you're going along, pretty soon you make this, maybe you look around at your surroundings and you think, this is not where I want to be. I sure hope that I can catch the next light on green because I'm going through. You ever been in those situations? Right is the pathway that leadeth to this. So as we go along on the path that's right, we haven't got off of the path, we haven't got off on the wrong road, we haven't taken a detour, we haven't exited off, we're endeavoring to be on the path of the righteous. But this path of the righteous, all of a sudden we realize we're in the valley of the shadow of death. So my head starts spinning, and I ask this question, where did I miss the road? Obviously, I should have turned back there somewheres, or I wouldn't be here. But that's not necessarily the case. Right is the pathway that leadeth to this. In the valley of the shadow of death, there's things like that comes to us. It's going to be like this the rest of your life. You know, you think about those disappointment things and disappointing things that's happened, the heartaches you've met in life. And immediately when that happens, one of the things that comes along on the kind of like on a second wave is it's going to be like this the rest of your life. Well, I'm going to die here in the valley of the shadow of death. I'm not going to make it through this. You know, the path seems to be wrong when we're in the valley of the shadow of death. And the reality is that the path is not wrong. And the valley of the shadow of death is not the end. That's not the result. It's just that the path goes through there. You're going to go through some difficult places in life, and I'm going to go through some difficult places in life. But you know, even if our literal life expires while we're in the valley of the shadow of death, that doesn't mean that the end of the way of the righteous is death. Do you understand what I'm saying? It means that we can be on the right path, lose our life, and yet get the end destination that we wanted to have. Lord, help us as we go along the path of life. Right is the pathway that leadeth to this. And all of us would be excited to tell everybody that the pathway that we're on is so right when things are going good. And when I can lay down beside the green, beside the still waters and lay in the green grass and maybe pick some flowers and eat some fresh fruit that's alongside the path and all of that, all of that is a wonderful experience, and we are convinced we're on the right path. But just as soon as the path begins to go into the valley of the shadow of death, we begin to question, am I on the right path? But you know what Brother Clifford would tell me? Right was the pathway that leadeth to this. Right was the path that led us to the point that we were entering in to the valley of the shadow of death. There'll be others that'll tell you you're on the wrong path too. The devil will tell you you got to be on the wrong path. Surely if you was living right, didn't he tell Job that? Doesn't doubts come in? Job's wife told him, you've been forsaken. What good has it been? Job's comforters came along. They said, Job, you did something wrong, or you wouldn't be in this situation. You remember how Job answered all of that? I'm going to paraphrase it. Job said, right was a pathway that leadeth to this. You know, he told his wife, get behind me, you speak like a foolish woman. He told his, one place he said, that he was going to escape by the skin of his teeth. That's where that expression comes from, by the skin of your teeth. Job said that. He said, naked I came into this world and naked I'll go out. Job was pretty convinced he was on the right path, wasn't he? Are you convinced that you're on the right path? Or are you waiting to see how it all plays out? Well, if it takes me down into the valley of the shadow of death, then I'm gonna feel like it's not the right path any longer. Is that how we judge whether we're on the right path or not? If it is, I think we need to change the way we look at the path, because we can get discouraged by looking around and saying, the path, there's something wrong with the path. When really, the path, there's nothing wrong with the path. It just happened to go through the valley of the shadow of death. Now listen to the rest of this psalm. It says, he's in the shadow of death. He's in the valley of the shadow of death. And this is what the psalmist says. He's in the place where the enemy is saying, you got to be on the wrong path. He's in the place where his friends and his neighbors and maybe his spouse and other people are saying, you're making a mistake. Don't take that cab off. Don't be trusting the Lord for this. You're making a mistake, friend. I've been that place. Or I had somebody that was a professional look me in the eye and said, you're making a serious mistake. when I was on the path. And it looked like the valley of the shadow of death. That's what it looked like. But listen to what the psalmist said. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. How can you say something like that? You got to be convinced that you're right on the right path. That's the only way it'll work. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The thing that keeps me upright, the things that keeps me steady when my feet get treacherous ground, that's what I'm going to trust in. I believe this path is right, even though it leads right through the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. If it looks so gloomy, it's so dark, there's no green grass. Have you ever had enough shade in your yard? Maybe you have a place in your yard that's shaded to the point that grass just won't hardly grow. You might get a few weeds there, but it don't take much traffic and it's just bare dirt. And it's because there's so much foliage up above, there's no green grass to lay down in. And maybe there's no water to mesmerize you and pacify you and trickle past and entertain you. It feels like the valley of the shadow of death. And he says, thou preparest a table before me. Where? In the valley of the shadow of death, in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over, not because I feel so excited, but because I'm convinced I'm on the right path. Lord, help me to realize that right is a pathway that leadeth to this. As the poet said in the song, as I look around and I realize that all of the negative things could happen to me, the end result is the result I want. And so it has to be that I'm on the right path. If I continue to be faithful right in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, if I seek His presence and eat at the table the Lord provides for me in the presence of my enemies right in the valley of the shadow of death, then I can be convinced that I'm on the right path. Not because it looks good, not because it feels good, not because it's comfortable, but because I know this is the path that I ought to be on. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, isn't that the end result we want? The end result that I want is that goodness and mercy would follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to live eternally with God. I want to be in His presence, not just momentarily, not just be impressed by a glimpse of His majesty, but I want to be in His presence perpetually through eternity. And the path to get there, odds are, it's got a valley of shadow of death for me. Somewhere. It might be, you know, people have struggled with disappointment to the point that it's went into depression. They've struggled with so many things in life. And ultimately, it's a valley of the shadow of death. Lord, help me to stay on the path, on target, and realize that the end result that I want is that I'll be with the Lord forever. I want that. I want that for myself. I want that for each one of us. that we'll be in a place where we can be with the Lord forever. If you're on the path, don't get off. Don't allow the enemy to come along and intimidate you into thinking that you've missed the turn somewheres. Keep right on going. Another place in Proverbs, maybe we'll turn there before I sit down. Proverbs, I believe it's the 4th chapter. Down towards the end of the chapter here, the writer says, Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Is the pathway right? Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now, we've just been reading in Pilgrim's Progress. Pilgrim and hopeful walking along, and they got to a rough place on the road. It was hurting their feet. And they saw green grass and smooth walking on the other side of the fence. And what did they do? This has got to be the way. It goes right along where we're going here. But this is so hard on our feet. And they went over the fence and got on the green grass. And it wasn't long until they got in trouble because they got off of the path. Right is the pathway that leadeth to this. So if you've got bumps in the road today, if you've got difficulties, don't change the path. Ask the Lord to help you and set a table for you in the presence of your enemy, the devil, right in the path that you know is right. Because right is the pathway that leadeth to this. The end result is we'll be forever with the Lord. But between now and forever with the Lord, very likely there's going to be a valley of the shadow of death. You pray for me. I want to be faithful when I come to my valleys. I may have more than one. When I come to my valleys, I want to be faithful and stay on the path. Because the end is, I want to be forever with the Lord. You pray for me.